You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this broadcast. My website is crosstheborder.org. And we are continuing here our Bible study, going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. At least that's what we do most of the time here on Cross the Border, the radio broadcast. And we're picking it up here in Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 and verse 16. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly, and I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. There are many people that take it upon themselves to teach the Word of God, and a madness overtakes them. And some of them become very famous because of the madness that overtakes them. They overthrow the Word of God while they teach it. For instance, if you read the beginning of Genesis, and it says that God created everything, and then He created all the animals, and He created all the plants, and that every tree bearing fruit, having its seed in itself, and every animal after its kind, of course, it also having its seed in itself, everything bearing kind in kind. It's like, you know, you can't mate a man with a horse and get a something in between. It doesn't happen, right? But now the madness of men and the wisdom of men said that it can happen now. And disregarding the Scripture and several witnesses in the Scripture to the contrary. You know, one, that things only reproduce after their kind. In Genesis, we have that. And, you know, I am so glad that the Heavenly Father put that limitation on His creation. Otherwise, we'd be in big trouble. You know, we'd have one big muddy mess of genetic soup down here, wouldn't we? Mm-hmm. And how about the angels? Well, the angels don't reproduce. All of the angels were created individual angels. Yeah, because they don't, you know, there's no mama angel, daddy angel, and baby angel. You know, that isn't how the angelic realm works. The Messiah told us that. He said that, you know, in the resurrection, that we become as the angels. You know, they neither give or take in marriage. They don't reproduce and have baby angels. It doesn't happen. Okay, but we have this madness that overtakes some Bible teachers, and they see things that aren't there because of their great wisdom and understanding. And of course, see, they understand the Word of God better than the Almighty, who put these limitations and put them in the Word. And now we have human angel hybrids. That's right. The Nephilim, they call them. They've taken the name of a tribe of people, of a certain, offspring of men, and they call them Nephilim. Now, can angels and men become one? Well, yeah, you could become demon-possessed. That's right. That's about as close as it gets, you know. So there can be a spiritual mating, but there's no physical mating. I'm sorry that the Scripture, you know, eliminates that. We have it eliminated by at least two. I'm sure there are plenty more witnesses in the Scripture than the two I just mentioned. But two is enough to show that the doctrine, that madness that people are selling today, and some of the greatest Bible teachers, and I say that their greatness is in the world, and they think they're going to be in big trouble because they're deluded. You know, if they don't lay off that folly and repent, they're going to be in big trouble. That's right. That guy up that teaches this stuff, the big guy, the Chuck Missler guy, and the other guy that's writing a book and goes to all these prophecy conferences with him, and they teach about the Nephilim, the half-hybrid, half-humans. That's, you know, that's all very interesting. I like science fiction, too. It's fun. But I don't confuse it with reality. Come on. And that's what they're doing. They're confusing it with reality. They have a wisdom that's greater than the Almighty, who excludes this by his very word. They say it's possible now. See, that's a madness. They have been duped. You know, they've given their heart to know wisdom and to know madness because they've embraced the madness that comes with it. And folly, it's folly. He said, I perceive that this is also a vexation of spirit. And that's what I say, that their spirits are vexed because they've left the truth behind. They have a vexation of spirit. And people like it. They like the fiction better than they like the truth. Because fiction is very popular these days. As a matter of fact, the whole church, the whole corporate church, and the whole Christian media world out there has totally bought into the fiction, the prophetic fiction, rather than reality. Prophecy reality, they bought into prophecy fiction. That's right. Fiction is very popular. So, there is a madness, for much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. And yes, there is a point at which it just becomes a labor. You know, trying to overthrow these things, it just becomes a labor. You know, I've done a labor, and for me, the reason, I mean, I could go off, I could take that right turn, and I could embrace the fiction and jump into it with my whole life and even my whole heart. Remember what the scripture says about the heart of man. It is evil and it is wicked above all things. You know, don't follow your heart. That's what the world teaches. Just follow your heart and everything will be all right. I doubt it. I don't think so. Don't follow your heart. Follow the Almighty. Follow the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit. That's what you're to follow. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. And, you know, I have to admit that when I was a young man and I started reading the scripture, and I'm talking about a young man, a teenager, 19, 20 years old, because I'd never even looked at a Bible before that. I mean, opened the books and read the pages before I was 19 years of age. And I started reading the Proverbs, and I couldn't understand a thing that book was saying. And that it was like reading another language. But really, it was another way of thinking. And I determined, I said, well, because I did understand that, you know, the Proverbs were there to make one wise. And I said to myself, well, I want to be wise. But wisdom only carries you so far. And then there's a temptation that comes with wisdom, that people think that they have wisdom beyond what they have. They delude themselves. And that's where the vexation of spirit, when you start worshiping that wisdom and and worshiping knowledge, you can be deceived by it. That's where the madness comes in. And you see that madness on display. It's very popular, but it increases sorrow. So perhaps, like Solomon repented of his madness and folly that he's writing about here for our benefit, perhaps some of these men will repent. We can only hope. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. When you have the wherewithal to dive into pleasure, you know, and many people don't have the wherewithal, but they dive into it nonetheless. And you can do this in many ways. It can be through sexual pleasure, and usually that gets all wound up with alcohol and drugs, and that shows you how unsatisfactory it is. Or lavishing yourself with the riches and all the latest, the best clothes, the greatest cars, the greatest suites, the best and the biggest houses and the swimming pools and, you know, whatever. And if you can't afford all that, well, you can have it all with a drug. That's right. Just by consuming certain concoctions, pharmakia, drugs. That's right. You can have it that way too. I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity, and it is vanity. It is empty. That's what vanity means. It's empty. It's a vast emptiness. It's a big, big, big hole. That's right. And you keep trying to fill the eyes with seeing, and the ears with hearing, and all of the senses with all of the pleasures that you can fill it with. And it's just a big black hole that can never be filled. And while you're trying to fill it, it destroys your very life. It's a vexation of body and spirit. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself to wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. What are you working for? All the days of your life, what is it for? So you can enjoy a few moments of wine, drugs, pleasure, sex, all of the pleasures of life, the laughter. You get tired of laughing. You can watch the comedies and the comics until the laughter is just a mechanism. Right? It holds no great pleasure. Yes. Laughter is good. I like to laugh. I don't laugh enough, I think. But I don't seek laughter either. When it comes, oh, it's wonderful. When it truly comes. And perhaps that's the way it should be. He says, the preacher continues here. He says, I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings, and of the provinces I got men singers, and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and all, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Now here's a man pushing the limits. Why? Because he can. And we all know that Solomon went into apostasy. And perhaps the lesson to be learned is that we all have our limits and that we should be grateful. I don't want to be too rich. I don't want to be too poor, because both lead to great temptation. There's wisdom in that. He said, yet, and also my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And it's the same today. You see men that have riches beyond riches, billionaires, millionaires, and there's no profit under the sun. Yes, they have all these things. They can get in a jet and go wherever they want and do whatever they want anytime they want, and suddenly, it's nothing. Yet to me, it would be something. But what would I do with it? Well, if I had that kind of riches, I'd plant it in his kingdom. That's what I would do. But would I fall? What about the temptations that come with that riches? Could I stand? Oh, Heavenly Father, you know, keep it from me if I'm not able to stand up under it. You know, I don't want it anyway. I just want to keep planting in his kingdom. Can a poor man, can a man who has very little plant as much as the rich man in the kingdom of Yahuwah, in the kingdom that lasts forever? If he can, then let me do that. Let me avoid the temptation. He says, I looked on all the works of my hands had wrought, the labor which I labored to do. Yeah, he worked hard. He labored hard. It was all vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So where's the profit? What should we work for? That it won't be vexation of spirit, that it won't be vanity. There's only one place. Store your treasure up in heaven, where rust or moth doesn't corrupt, neither can the thief break in and steal it. Hallelujah. It is wonderful to work and labor in his kingdom, to have that peace that you're not working for nothing. I'm not working for nothing. I'm working for a riches, for a treasure that will last forever. Hallelujah. Ah, and amen, and let it be. He says, I turn to myself to behold wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 12, Ecclesiastes. And I turn to myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man that do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath already been done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. Well, that's a statement. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then I said in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous to me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all the labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be wise or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherewith I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Yes, all wise men have these same thoughts, do they not? Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therewith shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity, and a great evil. It says it's an evil to leave exceeding wealth that you've, by wisdom and knowledge, have labored to gain riches, to leave them to a man who hasn't labored for them. He said that's an evil. This also is vanity and great evil. So what's the lesson to be learned? Teach your children to work. Teach them the value of labor. And I can't say teach them the value of the dollar. Yes, do teach them the value of the dollar, but teach them about real money and the folly of fiat currency. And teach them to labor so that when they spend that labor, which is wrapped up in a dollar or in real money, however it is wrapped up, they don't spend it unwisely. That they treasure even the labor that you labored with, knowing the value of it. Otherwise, it is an evil. And that's what Solomon, that's what the preacher is preaching here. That it is evil to leave your labor that you've labored for by wisdom and knowledge to men who don't exercise wisdom and knowledge and understand the value of their labor. It is a gift from the Almighty. Your labor is a gift from the Almighty. How are you going to spend it? And he says, give me 10%. You know, if you're out there laboring for a wage or whatever you're laboring for, by wisdom you built an economic empire of some sort, He says, enter into my labors. Give me 10%. Give back to me 10% of that which I have given you. I've given you all your labor and planted in my kingdom. And that 10% will grow. That's what he says. That's the obedience part. For those of you that labor out there in the world under the sun and now realize that it's all vanity. It's all vexation. If you're just laboring for what is under the sun, then it's vanity and vexation of spirit. Labor for that which will last forever. Or at least join in the labors of those that are laboring for that which will last forever. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to take a little break here. Take a few minutes, visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and please, I would like to hear from you.